Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome to the talk show Uplifting Communities, Louisiana, with Miss Carla Serenity. And I tell you, Miss Carla got something special for you guys today. But I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to let Miss Carla tell you. Go ahead on, Miss Carla. Let them know.
Thank you so much, John. Oh, my gosh. I so look forward to my Saturdays and with you, John, and also with our guests that we have on each and every Saturday at 3 o'clock Central. But today we have a very, very, very special guest because this young lady is doing something right outside, right in Southwest Louisiana. I am talking about Ms. Grace Mayfield, owner of Hamilton Academy. She's been dedicating to bringing opportunities to thousands of children, adults from around the world to study fine arts and cultural right here in Southwest Louisiana. So before I can go in and you know, try to tell you guys everything about her, I want to say hello, Ms. Grace. Thank you for being with us today. And why don't you tell the world hello?
Hi, hello, Carla, and hello to your listening audience. I'm really excited about today. I hope that we can share a lot of information and have some frank talk about our communities and our culture and some things that we can do just to make our communities better.
Awesome. Ms. Grace, we're just going to jump right into it. Tell us about who's Ms. Grace? Who's Ms. Grace Mayfield? I said Hamilton, but it's Grace Mayfield. Who's Ms. Grace?
Yeah. Well, Carla, I'm a small town country girl with a big city idea. I guess it's the best way to talk about me. I was born and raised in Opelousas, Louisiana.
Hey.
Small. Both my parents were school teachers. My mother was very much big on culture, so we did a lot of traveling. My dad's family lived in California, so we would take a lot of trips. We would go to museums. She wanted us involved in piano and dance and modeling. So she exposed us at a very young age to arts and culture. She wanted us to have a big vision about our life and not just be tunnel vision or looking with blinders on. So she exposed us to a lot. She exposed us to a lot at a very young age. I remember taking my first plane ride at age 5.
That was
big, yes, for a small town girl from Opelousas. And we're talking about in 1965. I was born in 1960, so I'm telling my age in 56.
And, you know, that is pretty huge because right now everybody, you know, takes advantage of it. They don't really understand how far we've come when it comes to just being able to, you know, fly from here to there, fast food restaurants, and all of that, and especially being that we are both from Opelousas, Louisiana. So for you to get on a plane in the 60s is a pretty huge deal. So when you guys went on, when you
civil rights, we're talking about
that's
ma'am.
Right.
Civil rights. I said we're talking about in the middle of the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that experience. When you were a little girl and you said that your parents wanted to make sure that you guys experienced more than just Opelousas, because, again, I'm from Opelousas, so I know and I can relate when you say that. What was that experience like for you, you know, coming from your area in Opelousas, getting on a plane, going up in the air, meeting these different people? How does that motivate you to do what you're doing today?
It motivated me from this perspective, Carla. It made me see that the world was huge and that the only limitations were limitations that I would place upon myself and that there was a lot out there to see, and I wanted to see it all. I wanted to see it all. Mm-hmm. And so those traveling experiences, we would fly. Sometimes we would travel by car. And when I look back, you know, there was no GPS. So my dad was using Atlas. He was a scientist. And so I didn't know it at the time, but we would travel until the sun would go down. And so he had mapped out places for us to stop and stay. Like, my mother was Catholic, so she was very Catholic, let me just say that, to the point where she got a medal from the Pope back in the 60s. But she made contacts with Catholic priests along our journey. So we would always stop and stay in a town at a hotel that the Catholic priest set up for us, so that as black family, we weren't on the road after dark. I didn't know this, though, when I was a kid, traveling in the 60s. I just thought we were in they threw my brother, my sister, and I in the back of a station wagon, and we, those TV shows you see, we, hit the road.
Yeah.
And traveled. I always wondered why my mom always had, food for us to eat, and, we didn't do a lot of along the way. But I didn't understand, at a young age that places were segregated and there were certain places we couldn't stop, particularly as we were traveling through Texas. So we always tried to make sure that we were in certain parts of the South, that we had hit certain points before dark, before night fell.
Experience.
My dad would drive sometimes, we would leave sometimes at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, and he would drive until it was right around that the sun was, night was falling. And so I always wondered, why we had certain places we always had to stop, and there was a certain route.
It's funny you say that. It sounds like it. It sounds like something that you guys actually overcome. We've all overcome, because I watched earlier today on 12 Years a Slave, and it's really hard to watch, because a lot of times we don't want to really, or sometimes me, let me speak for myself. I don't like to look at people based on what ancestors have done. I try to give them an opportunity. However, when they do something these days, I can't help but if it's a click, like it's kind of almost there, but it's it's suppressed and it's hidden. And when you say that you guys went on these road trips and how it was just something that was planned out, we don't really realize the things that our parents did for us growing up that would protect us. And I just have to say, Ms. Grace, that I'm truly, truly grateful for our parents doing what they did when it came to protecting us. So I can go on about that, but let's go back to dancing.
That's a whole other show, John.
Yeah, really. And another thing, too, I wanted to piggyback on something Ms. Grace was saying. I remember the early 60s. I was in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Okay. I really do believe this has something to do with our success. Coming from Louisiana, like, and from Opelousas, Lotel, Lake Charles, this has a lot to do with it.
Yes.
Because we had limited access to different cultures. I had never seen a Filipino before. I had never seen a real Chinese person before. Okay, till I left Lake Charles. Because it was all black and white. And we start getting that, and that was so good that Miss Grace's father and mother start taking them out, because the first time I had left Lake Charles, I went to California. When I saw a real Chinese person, I was shocked. I said, "A real Chinese person?"
It blew your mind.
Yeah, because we always did see them, but we saw them in history books.
Right.
Yeah.
They didn't. We just never. So that was great.
Right.
That was great. And a lot of people, they don't talk about these things, what Ms. Grace is talking about in a community.
Right.
To see how God has blessed us. And we came a long ways. Because the 60s is not that far.
No, it's not. Because I was born in the 60s. So, and I like to think I'm still a little young snapper. So, it's not that far at all, John.
But with our current, you know, with our current condition, we have to be careful because sometimes it has a tendency of repeating itself. I'm just saying that. But anyway, let's move on.
Right. Well, we're gonna have you back for that, Ms. Grace. With John and I, we're gonna have you back on the show so that we can talk about that as well, because I think it's something that is very important for us to teach our kids, in addition to their talents. Because again, watching 12 Years of Slaves, I'm watching how they actually let them keep and portray and demonstrate their talents, but it was talents that was owned by them now. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Like, they allowed them to play the fiddle. They allowed them to run. They allowed them to wrestle. They allowed them to do all of those things, but all those things were not their talents. Those talents were owned. But
right.
With you are actually helping these kids when it comes to not just their physical talents, but the aptitudes and attitudes of creating high self-esteem and having self-confidence is what I'm reading from your page. And I think that is amazing because, personally, I'm a dance mom. And let me tell you guys something. Whew, being a dance mom is like no other. I mean, I'm talking about 10 hours a day training every other week, you know, every other day. Classes, the day before, the day of. I told my daughter for her last recital, Miss Grace, I'm done. Go meet your dad for the summer. I can't see you dance anymore. But I realized how it helped her. And what have you find? What is one of your most profound stories or profound students that you've had help that you can remember and you can say, yes, this is why I do what I do?
Oh, Carla, I have had so many stories of students that have excelled and exceeded. I mean, I've had students that have come from all kinds of backgrounds, to be honest with you, from doctors and lawyers' kids to, you know, maids' kids, and we treat everybody exactly the same. But I try to instill, one of the things that we do at our studio is that we do a production called Roots the Journey, where we actually put our students in our culture and our history. So we take, the students have to learn about culture and history. And so we start in Africa.
Wow.
We go through the Middle Passage. We go through the Hattie on the Block is one of the scenes where the child is auctioned away from her mother. We go through Harriet Tubman and the Underground Railroad. So the kids have to learn history and culture, but they have to become those characters. And so they learn, many of them for the very first time, what our ancestors went through to give them just the opportunity to read and write today. And so one of the things that I find is that the kids that go through the Roots production, they're part of our performance company. Those that go through that experience become changed. I had a young lady posted, she did a piece, she lives in Alexandria now, but she actually still dances, and she did a piece about four women, Nina Simone's piece about four women with different shades of color and the things that they had to go through because of the color of their skin. And she said the reason she's doing this piece today is because she saw our senior company do it in the 1990s when she was a little six-year-old, seven-year-old, and she saw them perform the piece, and she was so inspired by it. So pieces like that, pieces like Roots the Journey, in that particular piece, we end up with the election of President Obama. So we show, and the kids become those characters. And so it allows them to learn who they're made of, whose shoulders they stand on, and the sacrifice people made for them to stand up and be counted.
Wow. And that's what I see with my daughter. My daughter's a beautiful little, I call her my chocolate bean. She just recently asked me to stop calling her that. And I'm a talent manager, model manager, and all of those things. And those are the things that I really, really do my best to try to pull out of young ladies or younger people in general. When it comes to when they come to you and they say, hey, listen, they're all excited. I want to do this. I want to be a model. I want to be a dancer. I want to be a singer, an actor, and all of those things. And
I help them with that, but I also try to make them realize that, hey, you have this talent, but what else do you have on the inside of you? You know, what else can you bring, or what else is it inside of you that will be beneficial to the community in most cases? That's really beautiful. That's very beautiful. Your first class started when, Ms. Grace?
We started the first class. Actually, I was a senior in college. I was dancing at UL. And I started my first class in 1981. A lady by the name of Eva Bro that was a black female business owner, she had a daycare center in Lafayette mm-hmm. for about 40 years before mm-hmm. she closed it down. But I was dancing at St. John Cathedral for the Martin Luther King celebration. And mm-hmm. At the time, Father A.J. McKnight was the guest speaker. And mm-hmm. she said, my God, you know, we need what you're doing to be taught to my daughter and other little black girls like her. She said, I think you should open up a studio, and I'm going to help you get started. She said, here's my card, and come to my office on Monday. And she said, make sure you're there, be on time, and don't be late. And so I was there, like, you know, 15, 20 minutes ahead of time, because my mom always taught me, you know, respect your elders,
right.
and tell you something, do what they tell you. So I was there about 15, 20 minutes early. And we sat down, we talked. She, you know, told me what she could do for me, and I actually started in her daycare center teaching classes.
Wow.
Her to the kids in the daycare center.
And wow, that's great.
Yeah.
And here you are today. It's amazing, and that's why the Bible clearly says, do not despise small beginnings. You know, everybody these days, they want everything instant. They want everything now. They want everything to be, you know, given to them as opposed to them actually working hard for it. Your journey to where you are right now, Ms. Grace, with Hamilton Academy, what have you seen? How have you been told? Because I know how you help the community. I know how you do. How do you feel like you're contributing to the community with your dance school?
Oh, I think in countless ways that I probably will never know. But one of the things that I say is that when I see students call back or write back to me or post something on Facebook, that they learn things like self-discipline. They learn things like determination. They learn things like persistence, commitment. Because I'm a stickler. If you commit to something, I'm going to make you push yourself to your limit, because you have to be able to figure out what you're made of. And so sometimes we think, you know, if we push in too much, that's going to break us. And a lot of times when we look at our ancestors, they were pushed beyond the breaking point and broke and still survived. So, you know, I always tell my students, you can do more than what you think you can do. And so I think when I see them come back and say, you know, those 10-hour rehearsals every weekend,
right.
you know, for,
yeah.
you know, for months and months at a time, and, you know, you not giving up on us, you not letting us give up on ourselves, allowing me to go into college or in the workforce and be a force. Because I knew I could do more. I knew I could push myself. I knew I had to work on time management. I had to work on discipline. I had to do things sometimes. Maybe I didn't want to go to dance, and maybe I wanted to go hang out with my friends in high school. But I knew I had committed to this, so I had to follow through on it. So, you know, they tell me things like, you know, I learned those things at a very young age with the company, with you. And it gave me that foundation so that when I got to college, I could push forward. When I felt like giving up, I wouldn't, because I knew I could more.
Never
so,
give up,
you know,
never give up, in.
Never give up. Yeah, yeah. So,
well,
you know,
you said something.
So many
I'm sorry,
stories,
go ahead.
Like, I'm saying I have so many stories of students that will come back students I haven't seen sometimes in 10, 15 years, I'll run into, and they'll tell me stuff like that. I was in Baton Rouge last weekend, and I ran into a former student of mine, and she had been a student of mine 20 years ago, and she was telling the lady in the store that this was my dance teacher, and these are all the things she made us do, but I'm so glad she made us do.
And,
you know, those kinds of things I think are just a blessing. You know, Carla, one of the things that I that is important, and I want to say this, and I hope your listening audience is listening really closely. When God, all of us have a purpose for which we have come to this planet, and it's important that we sit with ourselves in silence, and listen to figure out what that is. We live in a time that because of social media and all of these things, that we're overstimulated, so we never quiet the mind here. But God speaks in a whisper. And if a person can figure out what they came to the planet to do and be, then their journey is such a blessing to the planet in ways they will never know, because they will be aligned with their purpose. And all of the cooperative components will assemble and fall into place and come together so that they can achieve that purpose. And I think that's so important.
That is so amazing. My mother just told me today, baby, you haven't rested in God knows how long. I need you to go home, because I went to her house and got cooked for her, and I fuss at her a little bit, like, Mom, you have too many shoes and all of this stuff, you know, just to make her laugh, because it's important to stay connected, to be there for your parents. And she goes, okay, baby, what are your plans today? And I was like, well, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this, I got to do that. She goes, other than your show today, Carla, stop. I feel like God is trying to tell you something, and you just need to stop and just allow yourself to embrace, you know, to be able to be prepared to embrace him. Enjoy your silence. So you are definitely a confirmation to me today by saying that, and I'm sure you are to so many others out there as well. I knew this would be an amazing interview. Ms. Grace, what do you have coming up for your classes and your school?
Well, we just finished our 36th anniversary at the Hyman Performing Arts Center on June the 13th. It was phenomenal. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. Every show, I'm like, okay, God, how can it get better? And I swear, every show gets better and better and better. We did a really beautiful piece, one of my favorites. I had a couple of favorites, but one of my favorites was the daddy-daughter dance.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, and it was so beautiful to watch from the little kids, the way that it was staged. Just, we started off with the little three-year-olds, and then the piece ended with our dance graduates who are graduating and going off to college. And so they danced with their dad, and then at the very end of the piece, I actually danced with a picture of my deceased dad in his honor.
Aww.
And his memory. So, it was beautiful. It was, I mean, that was not a... I'm trying to hold back the tears just talking about it.
Ms. Grace, you were there the day that Della Rue was there? Because I was there that day. That's the 10 hours I'm telling you about. Over at the Hyman Center?
I think Della Rue came right after us, the next day.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't see you. Enough about them, but let's talk about you.
You know, I wanted to ask you another question. One more question. Ms. Grace, you know, if you want to do it now or later on, I would like for you to let the audience know what is the criteria, of getting in your class, and also is your class accredited?
Okay, so this is the way our program works. We have two tracks. We have the recreational track, which is kind of open to the general public. And you can basically register, and we place you in our curriculum is a graded curriculum. So it goes from preschool through 12th grade. And so in the recreational track, you'll be placed based upon your age in specific classes. And then we have the pre-professional track, which is an audition-only track. And in that track, you must audition for specific classes. And that is our performance company and our competition team. So that's kind of how our school is structured. And then from there, students can go on. You know, right now I have a student who auditioned for Joffrey Ballet, which is incredible because there are very few young girls of color at a ballet school in New York. So I have a student right now who auditioned for Joffrey Ballet and was accepted into their summer intensive program. So she's in New York right now studying at the Ballet. Yeah. So she's part of our pre-professional track. So basically that's how our program is designed.
Well, I see here that you guys receive first place, second place, best choreography, and in competitions from here to New York, like you were saying. For someone like a parent like myself with my daughter, she's more interested in learning about hip hop. Do you guys offer any of those classes?
We do offer the hip hop class. It's more of a an additional class that students can take. It's not part of our graded curriculum course, so students can come in and just take the hip hop class. Yes, we do offer that as well.
Okay. Hmm. Well, you said that you guys did that. You said 36 years.
36.
How many
years? Yeah.
36 years,
wow.
Miss Grace. 36
yes.
years in business. 36 years educating kids.
Oh, yeah, that's
years.
Hey, Miss Grace, that speaks lots of volume.
In a business that was told it would fail within 3 years by everybody.
Oh, my God.
In an arts-based business in 1981, there was no one else in the area who was even thinking about doing this at the level that I was doing it. You know, there are a couple of people that had dance classes, which is totally
right.
different. But, you know, I was told, first of all, I was told when I was at UL that ballet wasn't for us.
Oh, okay.
So,
how dare
you?
You know, I wrote a piece saying, how dare you, basically saying the quickest way to lead someone who is a driven person by God when it comes to who they know they are is and try to stop them from doing something is to tell them no or you can't. So look
yes.
at you. So you need to
yes.
call that
yes.
person. You need to tell them thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, even here in Opelousas, when I started studying, first of all, my parents took us to Baton Rouge to train when I was younger. And then as I got old, because none of the white studios here would take black kids in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that was the first step. And then mm-hmm. when we did train at the white studio, we had our dance recital on a different day. We had our classes on a different day because that particular studio owner would take the black kids in, but the white parents said, we'll continue to support you under one condition. We don't want our kids to take class on the same day with them, and we don't want our
what?
Kids in the same day with them. Uh-huh. And
oh
so that was one of my biggest motivations for starting the studio because I did not ever want another kid to have to do that. I felt that was just so unfair for those parents to put her in that predicament. But in order to keep her business going, I mean, she had to agree to it because we're talking about in the, 60s and 70s. So, but that was the condition. That was the condition. So
in
we
the
never
70s.
Saw white. Yeah, we never saw the white kids. We never had class with them. We never intermingled
couldn't
with
imagine.
Them at all. Yeah.
I could not imagine. I mean, I can't even share what
Carla,
I want to say because I've been spoiled.
But you got to remember, during them times, you understand, they still had white-only, colored-only water fountains. You
Correct.
Know, I mean, that was still going on in the 60s. So what Miss Grace is saying, I can definitely identify to that, because when I came back from overseas, from Vietnam, out of the war, I went to a club. And you ever heard of Westlake, Louisiana? It's right across the bridge from Lake Charles. Well, I went to a club out there, a friend of mine's, and they told, was a white guy. He was in the Marine Corps, too. And he, we met up, we went to a club out there, and they told me I couldn't go in. You know, matter of fact, we almost got in a fight over there. Yeah. So, you know, things like, and that was in 68.
Yeah. I remember getting a cross burned in our yard because my parents were taking black people to vote, to register to vote.
What? Mm-hmm. Okay. Uh-huh. I'm not that surprised, but I, you know, just to hear it, and again, I watched 12 Years of Slave today, so that's really not a, you know, I'm still kind of a little fresh off of that, you know, but that's why I think one of the things that I love about my daughter, one of the things that I love about the school she goes to, one of the things that I love about her friends is that they're all different races, nationalities. And I've heard them have discussions of why people just can't get along. And I've seen them cry together and hug each other and say they love each other, and they would never do what other people are doing right now, simply to be what, you know, the other people, you know, are doing, that the hateful people, I'll use that word, the hateful people are doing. And that is so touching to me. And I honestly think it starts from home. It starts from their surrounding. It starts with your school. It starts with the building. It starts with, again, going back to your school and uniting and saying there will be no separation in here. There will be no white class. There will be no black class. We all bleed the same blood. And your kid's talent is just as special as this kid's talent is just as special as that kid's talent. And for that, Miss Grace, again, I want to say thank you, because I've seen your dancers. Mm-hmm. I've seen your students. I know some of the parents personally. I know some of your teachers, your instructors personally. And I have to say, I will be speaking with my own daughter when she comes back this summer. And, you know, maybe we can a tour. Do you allow for parents and the students to tour the school before they make the decision to go to your school?
We do. We have open houses on every Thursday in August from 5:30 to 7:30. So during the open house, we allow the parents to tour. We go through how our program is set up and designed. We go through how the registration process works. We answer questions people may have. And we give them an opportunity to see what we do and why we do what we do and what our philosophy is and why our philosophy has sustained itself for 36 years. So, you know, we do that every Thursday in August.
Okay, every Thursday.
I'd like to say one more thing. Miss Grace,
yes, sir.
Your reason why your business is successful, okay, is because you never forgot where you came from. You said some things, and we've been on air now for 2 years. Well, a little over 2 years, because this year make 2 years, 2 years and a few days now.
Wow.
And let me tell you something. Ain't nobody came on this show and talk as real as you did. I mean,
that's true.
Because you haven't forgot. And that's why your intentions is genuine. You got me? It's legit. Because you don't want that happening to nobody else again. You know, I mean,
never.
And I like that. You keep that up, okay? And you think you've been in business for 36 years or 38 years. You be there for another 100 years. You be gone, and they're going to just continue and continue and continue and continue.
Mr. Don, that is my intention. I have put systems in place that are to be my lifetime. So it is my intention to be here long after I'm no longer in the physical. So you know, I'm really excited about the systems we have put in place. They are tried and true. They, you know, I'm always looking for ways to grow and be better, to give our kids more opportunities. We belong to the International Association for Blacks in Dance. And so our kids have an opportunity to interface and interact with professional dancers from around the world. So they get an opportunity to study with the professionals. They get an opportunity to see what the real dance world looks like, to see if that's a career, those that are on that track. So they get to see dance at its highest quality, and so it inspires them to come and to, you know, actually, the young lady that is actually in New York, I took her to the conference last year. It was held in Dallas. Well, this year, 2017. 2018 is going to be in L.A., so we're going to be traveling to L.A. for that. But it gives them an opportunity to meet people from ALEE, from Dance Theater of Harlem,
right,
from Philadelphia, from Dallas Black Dance, and to see professional dancers who dance at the highest level on a world stage. And it allows them to come back to the studio and say, you know what, I need to push a little bit harder. I understand why you best for me. I understand why you're not letting me be satisfied. I had a group of dancers this year in our team company that I would not let go to competition because their attitude was bad.
Right.
And I'm like, we're not doing this, because you have to be not only good in terms of your technique and your proficiency, mm-hmm. but you got to be a well-rounded human being. And so you can't come here with a bad attitude and think I'm going to put you on a stage somewhere and compete. You got to, And they were like, Miss Grace, I can't believe you're not letting us compete this year. I'm like, when you get your act together, I will take you to the moon and back, but I'm not going to take you. You know, unless you got to have the whole picture. It can't be part of the picture. You got to have the training and all those things, but you also have to be a good steward of life. You got to be a good steward of life. You got to know that when you how to greet people, how to be respectful, how to be kind, how to be loving.
Right.
All of that is part of who you are. And so they were like, I can't believe you're not letting us compete. I'm like, yeah, you can believe it, because guess what? You're not. And it's playing equal. Y'all,
I love it.
All of our other competition teams competed and won first place, all kinds of awards. And so this year coming, they're like, oh, we're stepping up our game, Miss Grace, because we do not want to be left out like that. And so, you know, they're gonna compete probably this year. But they had to see that I was serious about what I wanted.
Yeah, and you have to be that way with them, because, again, we're living in a world now where it's like you better teach them discipline and patience and all of those things, and, you know, making sure that they understand that, hey, listen, this starts with this. If you don't take this serious, something that your parents are investing in especially, then I'm not going to send you there. You know, you may have the talent, but do you have the attitude? Do you have the personality? I so agree with you. I've done it many, many times, many times, and I'll do it again. Well, Miss Grace, I must say that this interview is very, very amazing. Thank you again so much for coming on our show. Now, tell us, how can they go and do you have a website that you would like to give out? Is there contact information for the parents out there who have kids that are interested?
Yes, we have a lot of different ways to make it easy. A parent can go to our website, HamiltonAcademyOfTheArts.com. There's a new parent portal, and it'll kind of walk you through how to register, how to order dancewear, how to become a part of our team. It'll cover both of our tracks. There's information about our performance companies. Anything you could possibly want to know. Our history is on there. We have testimonies from our alumni, former dancers. Where are they now? What are they doing now? That kind of thing. So it has a lot of information about who we are, where we've been, what we're doing, and where we're going. So parents can log on. Of course, they can call the studio, and that's 337-235-8651.
Okay. Now, let me ask you one very important question that I know a lot of us parents are curious about, and they're just probably, you probably heard it before, but I'm going to say it now for myself and the listeners and John, you as well.
do you ever have or do you have classes for us?
I do. We have adult classes. Awesome. I didn't have an adult class this year, but one of the things we're going to be offering in the fall, we're going to be offering adult Latin dance class. We've had adult tap classes. We've had adult ballroom classes. So we do offer classes for adults. We offer workshops for adults. The biggest challenge for adults is time. And so I find that for the adults, I have to do like little short segments, like 4 weeks, or 6 weeks. Because, adults have kids and they got a busy schedule. So we don't offer like a year-round class for adults just because what I've found over the years that, we will take time for our kids and make sure our kids at 9,000 places in a day. For ourselves, I'm going to do that next time. I'm going to wait to do that.
Right.
So,
is there a small fee? Are your company a nonprofit or is it a fee? How did it work?
Yes, that's a good question. We have a couple of different, we have actually two options with that. Our company is a for-profit company, but we also have a nonprofit entity associated with the company as well. So there is, our classes are feed classes, but we have scholarships available for single-parent, low-income families as well.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay.
Ms. Grace, please give me that information so we can share that on the website and also on our fan pages, because I know a lot of parents out there who say they didn't have the opportunity to do what their children are doing because they had to be adults really fast when they had kids.
Right.
So I think that is something beautiful that we would definitely support and promote for you, for the parents out there. And, we can make a big event out of this when it comes to
showing
the parents, having the kids be there to support their parents and be like, hey, mom, you could do it. Hey, dad, you can do it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I don't mean to jump in, but we only got 2 minutes and 40 seconds left on the show, and I need you to start closing out.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Oh, wow.
We'll have to come back on and talk again. We do a lot of things. We've done a lot of things locally and statewide and nationally with our students. They have developed themselves, with some of the best, professionals around the country. They've taken classes in silks, in everything from Afro-Caribbean dance to ballet, tap, jazz, hip-hop, modern, Dunham, Graham, the whole nine yards. So we try to expose our kids to the dance world everywhere.
Okay. Well, Ms. Grace, thank you so very much for being on our show today. It was such a pleasure. We got an opportunity to get to know you a little bit more. We got an opportunity to hear about your amazing school. And also to the parents out there that's looking to get their jiggy back and their groove and stride back, make sure that you hit up Ms. Grace Mayfield from Opelousas, Louisiana. Baby, we raise the best. You better believe it. It's
right,
in the water.
Girl.
Don't believe what they say. It's the OPE in the house. I'm sorry?
No, I said that's right, Opelousas.
Right. Yes, right. So, again, thank you all for listening in to Uplifting Community Talk Show, Louisiana, with Ms. Grace Mayfield of Hamilton Academy in Lafayette, Louisiana. If you have any dancers, if you have any drive, if you have any dreams or desire to do any of that when it comes to tap dancing, ballet, and also lyrical dancing. Is that correct, Ms. Mayfield?
Yes.
Yeah, lyrical dance. See, I told you, I'm a dance mom. Please hit her up on her Facebook page, and also for Mr. John, Mr. John L. Brown, for actually creating this beautiful site and this beautiful talk show for us to be able to go out and bring the community in so we can let you guys know what we're doing out there in the community. Again, this is your girl, Carla Serenity, with Uplifting Talk Show Louisiana, and remember, let our voice be your voice and be heard. You guys have a blessed day.
Okay, good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.